Hey everybody, and welcome to your Friday, August 8th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast to be rebooted into a summer blockbuster from executive producer Michael Bay. I'm your host this week, Mike Lemieux, and joining me is Robin Van Gilder and introducing Jack Thompson.
Hello.
Hello everybody.
Hey Jack.
Hi.
Long time friend, first time listener, caller, something.
Well, long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah, that's how that phrase goes. Imran will not be joining us this week because he went to search the world for Greg.
All according to
plan.
He's
chasing after him to make him pay for his various crimes.
He just, like, grabbed a knapsack and said, "Don't look for me," and just ran out to the highway. So,
yep.
He'll be back in 2 weeks, I assume.
We hope.
Dead or alive. Okay, so there's not much house cleaning this week, just a couple more one-shots from this Golden Festival thing that's going on right now.
Which have not been translated into English.
We'll never see any of these until they become an actual series. But
yes.
Okay, hilarious manga thing this week. Square Enix got raided by police because of manga.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about it, Jack?
Like, yeah, they've been printing this manga called High Score Girl?
Yeah, it's like a joke on High School Girl.
Yeah, so High Score Girl, and she plays a lot of arcade games, and instead of just making games up or just referring to them, they actually show cabinets with pretty accurate art, and on the screens they are showing pretty accurate recreations of scenes from these games. Like, I saw one where it's just a very accurate redrawing of Scorpion and Sub-Zero in Mortal Kombat 2 with Scorpion about to do his fatality. I mean, it might as well have been a tracing.
Yeah, looking at this latest chapter, it starts with them playing a Jurassic Park machine with a Jurassic Park logo on the side. I'm sure they cleared that with Universal.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right.
I'm sure. Yeah, I've read a couple chapters of that before, and they were just playing Street Fighter and just talking about it, and they showed screenshots and everything, and it's just kind of like, it's the sort of thing where when you read it, you just sort of assume, oh yeah, that's cool, it must be like a tie-in or something, but
obviously they got permission.
Yeah,
and they didn't, and in fact they not only didn't get permission, they made it look like they did by having a lot of copyright references to SNK and Capcom and everybody else who had properties recreated in the manga, and SNK didn't like that. So they are suing Square Enix, which is even funnier because Square Enix produces the arcade board that SNK uses for, like, all their arcade games. And as part of the lawsuit, they had the cops raid the Square Enix Osaka headquarters.
Which is the amazing part. Like,
yes.
A police raid over manga.
And there was an amazing joke over that, wasn't there?
Oh yeah, they didn't find any trace of Final Fantasy 15 or Kingdom Hearts 3 on the premises.
Yes, police be excited.
So, the last thing I saw on this is Square Enix is now recalling this manga. Like,
oh really?
Yeah.
Like the volumes and everything?
Yeah, they're doing a recall.
Wow.
So, there's like an anime being made of this soon, so
yeah, that's why it caught their attention, because before, I guess, just nobody... It wasn't very popular, so nobody was reading it, or
getting a
SNK,
anime.
The businessmen at SNK anyway, weren't reading it.
And
so.
This is just straight up screenshots of Mortal Kombat, like smooth to look like someone drew it.
Yeah, yeah, like I thought it, like at best it had been traced if it wasn't just, you know, an actual screenshot with edits. And I saw one of the Fatal Fury ones that was posted at GAF, and yeah, it just looked like it was either traced or a screenshot, and it was like a random one taken from like the first Fatal Fury game. Nobody plays that one anymore, so it was really obvious.
It's gonna be interesting to see what happens here, because they can't really resort to saying it's a parody, because they're not really parodying anything. They're just showing it.
Yeah, it's just like part of the plot of this series, which is about girls playing video games in an arcade. So
if,
it's like...
if it had been like kinda Fable Fury or something, and they'd all been like elves, then you could say like, oh no, it's just a reference that's supposed to evoke so-and-so.
Right, like that one chapter of Beelzebub where they're all playing Call of Duty, but they call it something else.
Yeah.
Well, even like Genshaken used to make references to them playing Fatal Fury and all that stuff, but they never showed it, and they never reproduced any, like, they never reproduced any of the art. They just name dropped it.
Yeah, this is like logos, and the hilarious part to me is just they show the end of like the volume, and there's about 24 copyright notices, and if they didn't go to SNK, who they do business with, like, makes you wonder who else they didn't go to.
Yeah.
So
nobody, I guess.
It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out.
Oh, yeah. Plus, it's just funny. Because, you know, Square Enix has that reputation for being, you know, lawsuit happy. Even though they're not really, but they have the reputation.
Yeah, but
it's always kind of surprising to me that Square Enix makes manga, but I guess they've, you know, had a magazine for a long time. And they did
Full Metal Alchemist, man.
Yeah, they made Full Metal Alchemist and stuff, so they were, yeah. Like, I don't know, I guess I just don't think of them as that, because they're always the JRPG people.
Yeah, I think it's just a side business, like how Konami does Pachinko. Like, I don't think Square Enix is super involved, but...
Well, it's something they inherited from Enix when they merged, because Enix was... Like, they did a lot of publishing, and, like, they really didn't make that many games on their own. I mean, most of the stuff was just outsourced.
Huh.
I guess it makes sense. They had a pretty good relationship with Toriyama, so...
Yeah.
Okay, well, do you guys want to move on to Bleach?
Yeah, let's move on to Bleach.
So, I think Bleach can be summed up in one sentence.
Oh, really?
Yes, fact... I think this may even kind of give insight into Kubo's writing process, like we were going over before. But Zombie Hutsugaya kills some dudes while Kuratsuchi analyzes the situation. That's the chapter.
Yep.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Oh, yeah, and well, there is one other little thing, which is revealed that Hutsugaya is not actually dead. So that's why we were so confused before when he showed up as a zombie. But
that's why I was like, didn't he just, like, pass out? Like, we're pretty sure he didn't die.
Right.
And turns out he didn't.
Yeah.
Just that he's being controlled like a zombie, and that makes him not have will, which you'd think that would work the opposite way, but whatever.
He has, like, more power because of it than all of the dead zombies.
Yeah, because he... like, very effortlessly beats Ikkaku and Yumichika. He just, like, ganks Ikkaku, like, 10 times.
I mean, like...
Yeah, he is far, far more competent than he ever was in life, which is kind of hilarious.
Which is when he'd throw, like, smoke screens and then stand still and get stabbed anyway. That was Hutsugaya when he was alive. Now, so,
yeah,
by the end it sets up that Kurotsuchi is going to fight him, obviously. But
he's going to try to cure him, which he will. And then, yeah.
He beats the girly, the non-female girly Arrancar, cuts him in half.
Yes.
Yeah, Charlotte.
Yeah, that's right. That's what his name was. Tutu guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's about all that happens, is it just sets up the fight between Kurotsuchi and Hitsugaya still. Still, that's where we were last week.
But we do get some amazing troll faces from Kurotsuchi, and that made it worth it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. For.
So, yeah, I'm not really understanding why zombies that are alive are more obedient and stronger than dead. I don't know. But
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but, you know, this is Bleach. So.
I'm a little disappointed that he's not dead. I thought that was kind of ballsy that he'd just kill one of the most popular characters since the manga's winding down.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I guess he still wanted the merchandising potential and the spinoffs and stuff. I would not be surprised if there was a Hitsugaya spinoff, because he really did place higher than Ichigo in some of the character polls. So,
a lot of the character polls.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what would have been an amazing manga? Zombie Hitsugaya.
Just him.
Yeah. Yeah, like, do what Mortal Kombat did. Oh, no, he's just dead. He's just back as a zombie.
That solves...
A zombie ghost.
Solves the
problem. Because he's already dead. He's a ghost.
That solves Kubo's biggest problem, is that there'd be no dialogue. He'd just be walking around stabbing people for an entire...
Right, and he's competent, so the fights would be quick, but they would be awesome to watch.
It would just be, like, chapters of him knocking someone over and just stabbing them repeatedly while they're on the ground.
Give him some kind of comic apprentice or something, comic relief, and have them make up words for him, you know. That's right, Hitsugaya!
I'm sticking like wide cracking zombie Matsumoto.
Yeah, there you go.
That works. It'd be his version of I am Groot.
So, like, what do you think? Next week he gets cured, the week after? It's gonna happen.
Nah, I think next week they like Kurotsuchi tries some things and they like don't work and maybe hurt him horribly or something. And then maybe the week after he cures him.
I think it's going to be how many sentences down the paragraph that Kubo has written that Hitsugaya gets cured. Yeah, because I am convinced now that he has a synopsis for what he's wanting to do for this whole arc, and he's just going sentence by sentence saying, how can I make this a chapter?
Yeah, we were talking about that before, that it's probably a bullet-pointed list of Hitsugaya shows up, check. People talk about Hitsugaya, check. They fight.
And so it depends on, yeah, how many more bullet points we have until Hitsugaya is cured.
Well, I mean, last time Kurochi fought someone, it took like half a year, so we could be at this for a while.
That's right, that was Zayla Poro, wasn't it?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, it was.
And that fight took a long time, and Renji and Ishida were already, like, had already spent time fighting him. God, that guy lasted forever.
He did. He lasted way too long.
I wouldn't be surprised if that guy's fight lasted, like, an entire year, because they kept cutting away from it and coming back for a while and then going away from it again.
Yeah, it might have. God, I'm going to look that up next time.
God, I remember they, like, beat him, and then, like, his dude just run over and heal him back up to full health again. Like, twice.
Yeah, that was his whole thing, was that he had a whole bunch of minions, and they kept healing him back up every time. So, yeah.
So, what do you guys think happens next week? Just fight? Go?
Not even a fight.
Do we cut away to somebody else for a while?
No, I think it's just going to be reaction shots. Like, reaction shots. Kurotsuchi says, I'm going to try this. And it's basically, like, his version of a killing blow.
I wonder if it's as easy as killing Giselle, and then Hitsugaya is fine.
I mean, that would make sense, but I don't think he's going to try that. He's probably just going to try and figure out how to cure him so that he can prove to be the better scientist or whatever.
Maybe we'll get another magic button that someone has to press to cure and give power-ups.
Yep.
Okay. Probably. Should we go on to Nisekoi?
I guess.
This is really good for my note-taking. We're finishing at, like, even minute marks.
That's good.
Okay, so we pick up where we left off last week, or a little before. Haru is reading what the prize is for winning and deciding that she wants to try to win. And she's wearing a wedding dress.
And everyone is blown away!
Not creepy at all that she's 15 wearing a wedding dress.
And Onodera is, like, alternating back and forth between being mad and, like, squeeing over it.
Pretty much everyone is squeeing over it. Every single person in this room.
I don't think Onodera's mad. I think the panels where she looks mad, that is Haru, and they just look exactly the same, so it's because Haru's got, like, that determined look on her face.
I mean, yeah, because when they're not standing next to each other and you can't see the height difference, they do look exactly the same.
When it's, like, framed right on their face, they're the same person.
Yep.
Yeah, like, this is one of the, like, I haven't read this in a while. Like, this is actually, I think, like, the first full chapter I've read in, like, a few months, and I couldn't tell them apart.
You see, Onodera has her long hair thingy on the left. Haru has her long hair thingy on the right. They're completely different characters.
Totally different.
So why does this high school have a very elaborate wedding dress that fits small children?
For plays, obviously.
Not for the weird child bride ceremonies they hold at night?
No. It's for all those plays that involve weddings, you know.
So everyone's freaking out at how cute she is. Everyone.
That's most of the chapter, pretty much.
I'm just clicking through. It's like, blah, blah, blah.
Everyone's freaking out. Oh, yes, she's so cute. For
the final question, they ask, do you have anyone you like? And Onodera says no, and Haru says she does, but she can't say who it is.
But she wants him to notice her.
Also, I just noticed there's a Mario and a Princess Peach in the audience when she says I do. I love cosplay audience. It's way better than regular audience.
It really is. There's some nice reaction shots there with some good costumes.
So
there's also a Chun-Li.
Is there?
Yep.
Terry Bogard, I think, right up front.
And there's a king, too.
Oh, there's a Vegeta. Oh, this is the best page. I'll have to go back to this.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone is super into, like, her answer and her bravery for saying that she likes a boy. And she wins because of that. Hooray!
And she gets the shoe-shaped trophy.
Yes, that's the best joke of the chapter, is, like, the shoe Emmy.
Yes. It's pretty great.
That's, like, 3 feet tall for some reason. It eclipses her when she holds it.
Yeah, it looks like it's taller than she is.
So
just about.
for her prize, she gets to dance with somebody, a male of her choice.
Yes.
What happened to the candy? Wasn't it candy?
I think that was like for second place or something.
Oh, that's way better than a dance.
I know, right?
So
I wonder who she's going to choose.
Yeah, which male in this school is going to have something good happen to him? Oh, it's Raku.
Which male is going to have anything happen involving him?
This dance can't happen if Raku's not there. It doesn't exist.
Yes.
So people immediately jump to the correct conclusion that if she's asking, it must be Raku that she likes. But she says, no, I just don't have any male friends, blah blah blah, blue, something. And then everyone's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Let's clap. And that's the end of that. Then they're tearing down the festival.
And I guess the dance, turns out, is around a bonfire, which is not what I was expecting, going to be honest.
Yeah, are they going to do, like, the, you know, hands back and forth around the bonfire Japanese dance thing?
That's what I've seen
in my animes sometimes.
It almost seems, though, like the bonfire just comes from them burning everything from the festival.
Burn it to the ground. We rebuild next year.
We want to force them to buy us new stuff, so we're just going to pile all this up and burn it.
So Haru's plan was that this was going to be like her last night with Raku, and she wasn't going to pursue him anymore, which I will point out she has said like twice before. And she tries to start, and then Raku says that the department store that they went to one time is having candy tomorrow. We should go. And she does not tell him off.
No.
And the cycle begins anew.
Yes.
Yes.
See, I like to think that Raku knew what she was going to say, and he just wants to perpetuate this. So he willed into existence that place is giving away candy. Nobody gets let go. Not before the ceremony.
Never. No, she has to admit that she's in love with Raku before this is over. Before she can escape.
He's got like these 6 stone tables with ceremonial knives next to them. And
oh, God.
The gods must be appeased.
Yep.
So that ended basically exactly like I think we assumed it was going to.
Yeah, that was... it's just kind of a nothing chapter, really.
More tsundere.
However, I will say that, having not read this in a while, I was not confused when I jumped into it.
Really?
Except
that Onodera and Haru look exactly the same, right?
Well, there was that, but other than that, it's like, okay, I kind of get the plot for this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a beauty contest, and yeah.
Okay, as someone with no prior biases, do you hate Fu? Or not Fu, Haru. Everybody loves Fu.
Yeah.
Haru seemed like half the time she was giving annoying faces.
That's kind of her thing, is she's just all like, oh, I like Raku, but I'm going to be so pissed at him, or...
Yeah, that basically seemed like I am not impressed with her.
And yeah, like, there's this whole thing. Didn't that come up this time, the whole prince thing?
Yeah, oh yeah, she brought the prince thing back up that has not been mentioned in, like, 7 months.
And the deal with this is, because this is something that is really, really dumb, is that, like, Raku kind of saved her when she was lost at a festival or a mall or something one time. When she was really little. And so she's been pining for this guy that saved her who she doesn't remember because everyone in Nisekoi has memory problems for some reason.
Even though this was 3 years ago. Like, even less time than the other stuff.
Right, and so she keeps pining for this prince character, and Raku has figured out that it was him, but he can't tell her because she wouldn't believe him.
Or he has told her repeatedly, and she does not believe him.
Right. So that's their whole connection. And why determined to not fall in love with him despite all this stuff happening that makes her fall in love with him.
So, okay, so it's a prince. For some reason, I had picked up from osmosis from listening to Jumpcast that he was a bear.
He was dressed up as a bear.
Yeah, he was dressed up as a bear.
Like, head-to-toe bear costume.
Uh-huh.
For some reason.
And she thinks a bear is a prince.
Well, she knows it's a person in there. She's not that stupid.
Oh.
I think. Actually, I don't know. She might think it's a bear. Yeah.
She might be pining after a bear after all these years. I don't know.
So I guess that's our Haru story arc for the few months, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully she... Well, no, because obviously we're going to have the follow-up where they go to this fucking sweets thing this time.
They go to a department store that's just giving out candy.
Yeah, and that's the whole chapter. What, and Paula shows up, and then there's shenanigans, and you know it'll be fun, probably.
Oh, it'd be great.
Better than this chapter anyway.
My favorite sight gag in this chapter is that Paula was not helping clean up.
Yes.
She was just like,
she just wanted candy.
She's yelling at people. Paula is the best. Actually, Fu's the best. I'm not sure. They're both pretty good.
I don't know. Fu was pretty great in this arc. But yeah.
I love her just being the monkey wrench in everybody's plans.
Anyway.
Anyway, should we move on to Naruto?
Naruto. Where it turns out Ninja Heaven is for real.
Well, the only thing we had to go by before that said no was Zabuza, and that guy's a dick.
Yeah, he wasn't going to go to Ninja Heaven.
True. He was never going to go to Ninja Heaven. Although, I mean, Obito did go to Ninja Heaven, so you can kind of get away with a lot of shit and still end up in Ninja Heaven.
Maybe he technically didn't kill anyone because Neji was just property, not a person. It's like he...
Yeah, right.
It's like he also broke the Hitsugaya's lamp or something. Or not Hitsugaya, shit, what's her last name? Hyuga.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it's also because Obito was being manipulated by somebody who was being manipulated by somebody who was being manipulated by somebody to do bad things.
I think you got them all. I was counting backwards.
Yeah, pretty sure that was
masterminds. So Obito tells Rin, like, hey, what's up? I got something to do later.
Like, hold on, real quick. I forgot something last chapter. I meant to do it before I died. Hold on.
I can just picture Kishimoto.
And he goes back as a ghost.
I can picture Kishimoto going like, wait, shit. God damn it. I forgot. Crap. So Obito comes back as a ghost.
It's very important here that it turns out Ninja Heaven is a dimension. And
you can just leave.
Obito just uses the, I forget what that technique is called, but the dimension warping Sharingan power. It just fucking goes away from Ninja Heaven back to the normal world.
Well, I mean, it's almost like the Hermit bringing the others into, I guess, Ninja Heaven.
Yeah, Hagoromo just cruising around as a ghost.
Yeah, just as a ghost. So yeah, Obito comes back as a ninja ghost, and he appears to Kakashi as when he was the same age as Obito for some reason.
So they're kids now?
Because idealized version of yourself in heaven. Something, something.
Obito came back from heaven. He didn't take Kakashi to heaven.
Well, maybe they met like halfway in between. They're in purgatory.
Yeah. Maybe that's what Obito
is.
Into purgatory, and Rin's there for some reason.
They can say hi to Neji.
Yeah.
Neji's just glaring off to the side with like double middle fingers up. So.
But anyway, so Obito gives Kakashi both of his Sharingans.
Yeah. Which is what I was surprised they didn't do last chapter. But they
yeah, exactly. It's like, which, I mean, I guess, but they were crumbled into dust right in front of Kakashi. But I guess.
Okay, ghost.
Huh? They're ghost Sharingan. Sure.
Yeah, they're not lasting forever.
This is a well-established thing that the Sharingan can do, that they can come back as ghosts and just give whoever their eyes.
Sure, whatever. I mean, then why didn't Itachi just do that?
Because Itachi's an asshole.
Fair enough.
I also figured, like, Kakashi's been living with that eye for, like, so long. He probably had some kind of, like eye X, like, chakra built up that allowed. I don't know.
Residual Uchiha left in him?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like he's part Uchiha now. He can manifest it. Or, I don't know, maybe all ninjas have, like, some connection to the bloodline, and that lets them eventually manifest any bloodline powers if they get eye hacks. I don't know.
Theoretically, they should, because the Uchiha and the Senju? Yeah. They were, like, from the progenitor people, so...
Right.
People should have some relation to one of those sides, but...
And Obito did have god powers. Like, I mean, he manifested, like, all the eye hacks. I mean, it's really not that unreasonable for him to be able to.
I don't know. It's just, the thing that I think is funny about this whole thing is that Ninja Heaven is real, and it's just another dimension that they can come back from.
It's like a place.
Living person there,
Let's go to Ninja Heaven for the afternoon. I got something for you.
I mean, it's just like Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball, Heaven and Hell are real places. HFIL.
Hiffle.
Are real places.
Or Soul Society.
Yes. Soul Society, you can get, like, train tickets to go there.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Naruto's fighting a dismembered arm that can't move.
Right.
And Sasuke is fighting the actual superpowered god and getting his ass kicked.
Naturally.
And then, like, a really cool double spread of Naruto calling on all of the nine-tailed beasts and
Right.
using.
And this just reminds me again that I don't know who most of them are because they
Oh,
never really showed up.
it doesn't even really matter. I mean,
Okay, there.
you need to know Kyuubi and you need to know whatever the Eight Tails was. I can't remember his name and I feel so bad for that.
They just call him Hachibi, which is
Yeah,
Eight
Hachibi.
Tails in Japanese. They don't even give
That's
him a name, I
right.
don't think.
I don't think he has a name because yeah, the Kyuubi is Kurama because I
Yeah.
remember that because Yu Yu Hakusho.
I know the Four Tails name, the monkey, is Son Goku, which is. And the dude that has him is called Roshi.
Gaara's is Shizaku.
Yeah.
Oh,
They
yes.
gave all the names at some point except for Eight Tails, I think, but eh, whatever.
Killer
Anyway.
bees,
So
bro.
basically, it's just we have a fire one, a magma one, a wind one,
A
a
wind
water one.
one, acid one,
From the other dimension.
all the different kinds.
I just noticed the Eight Tails presumably is an ink one because it's like splattering black crap everywhere as it
Oh,
spins.
yeah. I guess that is his element, because,
Yeah,
yeah.
ink. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kaguya gets hit with all nine, and all they do is really explode.
Yeah.
Not much different than just regular ones.
Right. And then Kaguya goes all Tetsuo on us,
Yes.
basically. All
Like,
the
turn.
chakra of the eight beasts within her is awakened, and she turns into a big, lumpy monster thing.
Big ball, monster rabbit.
Yeah. Pretty cool looking, but it'll look great animated
That
for
is
the
the first
next
thing I
game.
thought of, though, is the Tetsuo Canada.
Yeah.
I love how Zetsu is still giving commentary from the ground. Just, why is he still in the sleeve? I
I
don't.
don't know.
He's just like sitting there as an arm. I know he's
He
been.
is like the ultimate mama's boy.
He's
I
gonna
guess, yeah.
go away and continue to probe ninja history for no reason.
He's gonna move into Kaguya's basement after the end of this.
So, Kaguya has turned into a giant rabbit beast monster with like a dozen heads.
Yes.
And she's super unstable and starts lashing out at everybody with big hands.
And she's just absorbing chakra with whatever she hits,
Yeah, all the
almost.
shadow clones just get sucked right in. She goes
And then
after
she,
Sakura for some reason. I don't know
for
why.
some reason, well, I
She's
mean,
just
she's going after
standing there.
everything.
But she has no chakra. It was established that she ran out. Ah.
Yeah, but she still has some. I
Maybe.
mean, like residual.
Also, she's just like standing there. Easy target.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sasuke swoops in and saves her. Or no, wait. No, he doesn't.
No, wait, he doesn't.
Well, Naruto
Someone
tells
with
him
a.
to.
Right, someone with a different Susanoo swoops in and saves her. And who is it?
It's Kakashi.
It's Kakashi,
Yeah.
because he has one now. It looks pretty cool.
It's got a scar over his eye, like he does.
It's
Yeah.
pretty awesome.
So everyone has Gundams now except Sakura. She doesn't need one.
Yeah, she doesn't need one. What would she get? Like a slug Gundam? That'd be lame.
Yeah. She's gonna do what she did last time when she got the slug and just be like, I'm gonna fight on the front lines with you from way back here. I'm just gonna stay back here while you guys go fight. But metaphorically, we're all fighting on the front lines together.
Yeah.
So there's something I kind of liked about Kakashi getting this last minute buff.
Is that he's not as useless as Sakura anymore?
Well, that, but it's like it seems like at this point in an arc or in, you know, like the end game of a manga, like the mentor character would always either get killed or would just be sidelined because, you know, make way for the younger generation. And it's
Yeah,
like, nope.
that's.
He gets the last minute buff and he's going to help.
Yeah.
Which, well, yeah, it kind of works because he's also sort of a younger generation, just not the youngest younger generation.
There's like.
Jiraiya is the older generation and he's super dead. So
Way dead.
he's Uncle Ben dead.
There's like.
Yeah.
There's like four tiers of. There's like Hashirama's generation, Tsunade's generation, Kakashi's generation, and Naruto's generation, and there's nothing in between. There's just like huge 30-year gaps where nobody is important.
Yeah.
And in fact, that does make sense though with what Obito tells Kakashi because he's like, "You get to be the next
Oh yeah,
Hokage."
he wants Kakashi to be the sixth, and Naruto can be the seventh.
Right.
It's nice that
Yeah.
he's worked all this out. And also, like, a whole generation is now just shit out of luck because it's been
So
decided.
wait, Danzo doesn't count? Or
No.
I guess he was never formally Hokage.
No. In fact, Kakashi was already Hokage for a little while too.
Yeah.
Their numbering got way off.
Yeah, well, he wasn't long enough. He wasn't Hokage long enough to have his face carved into the mountain, so he doesn't count, I
It's
guess.
going to be like weird series that have spin-offs, and it's like, no, that's not a numbered sequel. That's a. Kakashi was a Hokage side story. You know, Tsunade was the last numbered one. Those are the only ones that count.
Yeah.
So we're going into Disgaea numbering.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. God.
We're not bringing up Disgaea on this podcast. Get out.
Okay, yeah, that's enough.
So next chapter, like, QB Gundam and two Susanoo Gundams versus Rabbit Gundam.
Yeah, I mean, this... Oh, God. I hate to say this because I feel like I'm jinxing it, but this has to be the final form of the final boss of Naruto.
Well, no. This is the horrifying, oh god, it's unstable, and then she's going to focus and condense it all down and then be, like, as powerful as this big monster, but in a super form.
Like,
hopefully it'll be rabbit-themed.
Like rabbit person Kaguya.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Sure.
With wings.
Rabbity. But
maybe with, like, I don't know, her original form is like a rabbit demon or whatever. Yeah.
With energy wings or something, because I think that's how that works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to have that.
Yeah, so lots of Gundams next week.
Yeah.
I like this shot of the giant monster, because there's like 12 Narutos and one Sasuke, and it's kind of like a Where's Waldo. You have to spot the difference between all of them. Okay, let's talk about Soma. What do you guys think?
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Soma's still kind of just telling Subaru everything he's going to do.
And Nikumi totally is not liking this.
Well, yeah.
For some reason.
I understand Soma's idea, though, that he's going to figure it out anyway. Just like,
it's just like, why beat around the bush?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you messing around. Just here, this is what I'm doing.
Well, Subaru is totally going to do it anyway.
So Subaru's still not buying it. He's like, you're up to something. I don't trust you. And everyone's like, you're an idiot for telling him. Why would you give up being a chef? And then the greatest sight gag ever in Soma is he thinks about being a lawyer. And he's
he imagines himself as Phoenix Wright.
Yes.
Yes. It's like, I can just do something else. I could be a lawyer or a diplomat.
The idea is that, like, cook is the highest thing, and if you fail at that, you could fall back on being a lawyer or a diplomat or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you can always do something else. I mean, if you fail at being the most important thing, which is a cook.
I can just see him going up to, like, the bar exam and being, you know, I was a cooking student. Like, oh my, over here, sir. Get in this line.
It's like, you are permitted to the Supreme Court.
Here's your gun. Here's your badge.
Secret bathroom pass.
So Soma asks Subaru why he does this. And we get the, like, evil monologue about completely surpassing people.
Just likes to crush people.
Yeah. Just kind of a dick.
And then, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And then Soma's like, yeah, that may be true. You're a good cook, but you don't know the true joy of cooking.
Oh, the heart of the cards.
Yes.
Heart of the cards, yeah.
I immediately thought about that.
Which, I mean, yeah, this is kind of a good point. It's like, yeah, why did you even bother learning to cook so well if all you really like doing is winning contests?
What's he going to do when he gets out of school?
Yeah.
Just walk into restaurants and be like, hey, want to have a cooking battle? No? All right. Bye. So, go ahead.
He'd be the perfect iron chef.
Yeah, he contest. Actually, like I said, the skill is not necessarily evil. This seems like a very good skill for a chef to have, to be able to imitate.
Right. Like, as working at a restaurant, this is what you do, unless you're, like, famous. You learn how to make the recipe really well. You just do it over and over.
So Soma ups the ante and offers the rest of his knives, which he has, apparently.
Well, yeah, then, you don't just have one knife.
And then he tells him that he'll never actually accept him as a chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has a week to prepare, and then it cuts to the next day, and he's thinking about beef stews and asking Nikumi about beef.
And he's like, oh, that's probably not a good idea. She's probably still angry.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely still pissed.
Yes.
So he goes to leave the front door, and there's a photographer waiting for him, which is not subtle at all.
Well, he immediately thinks it's Subaru up to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where he, like, bodies the kid and puts him on the ground in a hold. And it turns out that he's just a newspaper reporter that's reporting on Soma and Subaru Shokugeki.
Which is kind of weird, but I guess it makes sense since they are sort of the two stars of this current lineup. Although you'd think that, like, that dark and mysterious guy would be more interesting, not this guy who's won 100 times before.
I do love the shot of the school where they have just two-story-high printouts of the newspaper just everywhere.
And it's not even been, like, what, 9 hours since the Shokugeki got, isn't it?
He like, went home, went to bed, and got up, and this is what happened.
Yeah.
So he's still not trusting this kid, and the kid wants to follow him around and, like, document him getting ready for the Shokugeki.
And the kid gives, like, this big impassioned speech about how he wants to cover him, and he looks up to him, and he really wants to see, you know, how he was going to cook. And so Soma's just like, nah, just goes away.
And the time remaining is 1 week.
Yep, that's it.
Poor kid.
So this is how we're going to kill time between the Shokugekis, is a kid side story.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like him.
Does he go to the school?
I think so, yeah, because he's in the club.
Right, but he says he wants to be a newspaper reporter, but he's at a cooking school.
Well, I mean, he could be, like, a food reporter, and so the reason that he's going to the school is so he's, like, the Anthony Bourdain of the series, where he's, like, this cook that knows all the stuff but spends all his time reporting on other people's cooking.
Oh, I see. It says he's in middle school in the second to last page.
I guess this is
a middle school and a high school.
Yeah, I assumed it was still all the same, like, roof sort of thing.
Yeah. So that's what the deal is. He's not really in, like, the super prestigious high school part.
So this kid's totally going to teach Soma the true meaning of Christmas or something, right?
I think it'll just be sort of a funny back and forth where he keeps being all high and idealistic and stuff, and Soma's just straightforward, like he is.
Or he'll learn the key to beating Subaru.
Yeah.
He'll have this kid go spy on Subaru.
I was just going to say, outspy the spy master.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid is, we already know that he is also a guerrilla reporter.
That's terrible.
Oh my God. Okay. We're going to talk about Ass Class now and pretend that we don't make bad puns.
Yes.
All right. I know, it's too tempting to make these horrible puns, but
I wasn't even thinking of it as a pun.
It just slowly, yeah, it took me a second after Robin freaked out.
But yes, Ass Class.
Yeah. Assassination Classroom. Hey, remember in Soma when they went to take care of that, like, younger school where people cooked?
This is that arc.
With, like, the same character archetypes too.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, except there is the added thing where there's, like, the old man who kind of hates them, and, you know.
He turned out to be completely different from what I was expecting.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Exactly.
So it turns out
he is Jesus. He is the nicest guy.
That's, like, scowling and angry all the time. So it turns out that he runs a, like, preschool or something. It seems like it might be, like, an after school thing or a preschool.
I think it's, like, both. It's like a daycare and an after school thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says nursery after school, so it's like
right.
Both. Yeah.
So they're going to be working there for, what was it, like, a week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks while he gets better, and they have to make sure all these kids are taken care of because he did just about everything there.
And if they don't do it well, he will tell the world about Kuro-sensei.
Yeah.
Yep.
So pretty high stakes.
And yeah.
We come back to the students, and several are saying that they were not involved in the parkour stuff, but they have to do this anyway, and it's not fair.
And they also all got slapped.
Yeah.
Even though Kuro-sensei was apologizing to them as he was slapping them.
Yes. I just noticed the apologizing. I didn't catch that the first time.
It's pretty funny.
So, what's his name? Glasses Guy gives this really impassioned speech. Yeah, Takabayashi gives this really impassioned speech about the hard labor to protect their secrets, and if they do that, then they can ensure, you know, they'll still get the bounty. And while he's doing that, two kids pull down his pants.
Yes.
Also, we get an amazing panel of Terasaka being grumpy while he's being bitten.
Yes. And
I just love that bitten kid's face. Neck.
Yeah, the kids are like the best part of this chapter.
Yeah.
So we get introduced to the... Remember in Soma when there was like the bitchy little girl? We get a bitchy little girl here. That looks,
or remember in Wonderful 101 or countless other manga and anime and games and stuff where there's always that one kid that stands out from the rest and is really has a lot of attitude and you know, that sort of thing.
In this case, this girl looks like Karma and repeatedly in her life.
Yeah.
My my notes actually just have her listed as Babby Girl Karma.
Yes. Like, to the point where I thought that she might be related to him. It's great, though. She threatens, like, to slit their throats, and it shows the class freaking out. And you can, if you look in the back, Karma's just smiling.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't care. He's like, oh, cute kid.
So she tries to fight them and then falls to the floor because it's the whole place is falling apart. And they find out that this old man, like, did his best to keep this place afloat and, like, brought food and did repairs and... by
everything out of pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's a saint. He's a great person. This is a great thing he's doing.
Yeah.
So Mehara starts figuring out they have 28 people for 2 weeks. How much can they get done? And they decide to work off twice the old man's broken bone cost. So then we cut to presumably a little while later and Terasaka, Karma, and Kayano were doing a play for the kids. In which...
just a fun little play where Karma is totally beating up Terasaka for real.
And then Terasaka gets chloroformed to sleep.
By a glasses girl. Oh, that's so great. So we see, like, about half the class is taking care of the kids really well. I do like the point that Kayano is good with the kids because she has the same figure they do. Sort of a mean joke.
It is.
And then the other half are doing manual labor fixing up the place.
Yeah.
And then we jump to Nagisa mentoring baby Karma.
Yes. Teaching her how to be a sociopath serial killer.
Yep. And it turns out she's like this because she gets bullied at regular school, which, of course.
And she also just thinks everything is pointless.
Yeah.
Because why try when you're just going to fail sometimes?
It's actually kind of sad to have a kid bullied out of school. Like,
yeah.
You see this a lot in anime. I did think it's funny, though, like, after a couple days of tutoring, she's demanding that she should get into Todai, which is, like, big Tokyo University.
Yeah.
So, Nagisa gives a big speech about, or a big metaphor speech while a cat is rescued out of a tree that you need to rely on other people to help you through. Or something.
Which, I mean, for someone who's getting bullied, that doesn't seem like a great speech, but...
Rely on your friends. I don't have friends. Well, that's all I got. Rely on your friends.
Yeah.
Make friends. School. But it cures her of her her dumb.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she actually becomes a good student. The kids actually do pretty good rebuilding the place. And the old man is on his way back with Koro-sensei.
They rebuild it like twice as big.
Yeah, it's like 3 stories tall now.
And apparently his name is Matsukata.
Yeah.
And he freaks out when he sees that the school is now a fancy log cabin mansion.
Yeah, I like you can see the old school as like 1/5 of the new place off in the...
Yeah. I didn't realize at first that they just like built around it.
Yeah, it looks like it started as an add-on and they just kept going.
Yeah.
It's very nice looking too.
Yeah, it really is.
So Terasaka just yells from the top, "Hey Gramps, does this look like enough?" Which is a great way to end the chapter.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's what they were doing instead of studying. So next week they're going to fail horribly at the midterms.
Where did they get all these supplies?
I don't know, from the woods?
They're not going to fail at the midterms. They learned important lessons about building houses.
Maybe the midterms are unexpectedly focused on metaphors and word problems about building log cabins for some reason.
Like question 6. You're being bullied at school. How do you do this? Rely on your friends. Yeah, so are we just going to go... Like, it was 2 weeks till the midterms, right? So,
I think it was.
So, we're probably right on to midterms next week. Ugh. More RPG battles with math monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's another tournament arc in some form.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if there's going to be more betting.
Oh, man. I mean, you would think he would have learned his lesson by now, but...
Ooh, Asano?
Yeah.
I just hope he just... If he gets beat again, then we get another horrifying chairman monster.
That's true.
That'd be pretty great.
Yeah, or maybe it's a team-up arc.
I do wonder when Shiro's going to show back. Didn't he declare that he was going to go after Nagisa, and then that just got dropped and never brought up again?
Yeah, and remember that was her, the whole thing where Irina's mentor got killed, and there was that other mysterious guy who showed up.
Yeah, the Shinigami or whatever his name is.
Yeah, but that never came up again.
Ah, I'm sure it's fine. That'd be funny if that just never came up again. Just, there's an assassin out there. It doesn't really have anything to do with what's going on here, so.
I mean, yeah, he's not. Why would he come here? He's not interested in things like this, so yeah, whatever.
Okay.
All right.
On to One Piece, our last manga.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I know.
Yep.
It's going by
fast. A lot of short chapters today. Well, Nisekoi and Bleach, I guess.
Yeah, so there's not...
uneventful.
Not to talk about. But One Piece is jam-packed this week again.
Yes.
So we got a lot to talk about. So this cover image is fantastic. Of just, like, candid photos of all... Or, like, almost selfies of all...
Yeah, it's pretty good.
17 years of One Piece.
Jeez, really?
I was 11 when it started.
Wow.
Yeah, I was talking with my wife about it, because she's a bigger fan of One Piece than I am, and she had already been watching it for, like, 5 years before we met, and we met, like, freshman year of college. And
oh, wow.
Now we are, like, all the way through, or, like, you know, we're mostly the way through grad school and, like, are married and stuff, and it's like, that was a long time ago.
I remember, like, way back when I first, like, joined forums, there was people with One Piece banners, and I didn't understand that, like, the skull was an O and Luffy was supposed to be an I, so I just thought it was, like, Nep S, and I didn't really know. I had no idea what it was, and I didn't really care to ask, but then, like, once I got into One Piece, like, oh yeah, that was that logo I saw a long time ago online.
Yeah, I remember, like, this dude had, like, a gif of Luffy eating, like, some kind of ham as his gif. I'm like, wow, that looks like it'd be a fun show. I wonder when that'll be in English.
Then Four Kids happened.
Yeah.
I actually got into One Piece from the dub, believe it or not.
The Four Kids dub?
Yes!
Where you're like, holy shit, this is terrible, I have to go find the source material.
No, I kind of like, well, because I like the art style. That was the thing.
I never.
So I thought, oh, that looks cool. I mean, I don't know.
I got it.
Like, some of the voices weren't terrible in it.
Yeah. I don't know.
That. I can't say anything good about anything Four Kids had to do with the principal.
Yeah. That's understandable.
So
that rap was not good.
Looking over this, I guess this is all the Straw Hats getting ready in the morning. It looks like that's what the conceit is for all these pictures. Because it looks like it's in the mirror, like Luffy's writing on his. And
yeah, this is like their dressing room.
I actually think he's writing on his with Robin's lipstick.
Yeah, looks like.
Okay, so. I'm trying to remember where we start. Oh, Violet, that's right.
Yes.
She's continuing to look around the castle. And then, Tanjiro and Kinemon. Yeah.
Kanjuro and Kinemon, yes. They get there, and the bizarre, poorly drawn bird thing.
The horrifying monster.
Is finally exhausted and just collapses.
And then Kanjuro says that he saw everyone trying to get up and having a hard time, so he drew ladders for them.
Yes. And he called Usopp a Tengu, which is pretty funny.
So, the funny part, though, is that even with these poorly drawn ladders, like, it's actually making it harder for people to get up.
Yes, because they are so poorly drawn.
Kanjuro is so great. I love his shitty art.
He is. I hope he gets a fight with someone. It'd be great.
And we get more hilarious reaction shots from Usopp.
Yeah, I'm glad he's had a rest so we can get more Usopp faces.
Yes.
So Violet finds Monchery and relays it to Leo where she is. She's just in this cage that they have. Okay, I thought they added a cage into a random room, but it turns out they just had a cage in a random room in the castle.
Yeah, it's the timeout room for the dwarves or something.
Yeah. Ugh. Maybe Riku wasn't so nice. So, like, now that they know where she is, Leo's, like, crying and, like, excited to get there.
And remembering all the good times they had way back when.
And Robin suddenly yells to look out to Bartolomeo, and he explodes.
Yes. There are a bunch of explosions, which are, that's, what's Gladius. That guy's name? Gladius. Yeah, that's his power.
He can just
making bombs.
Boom stuff, I guess. I still love that Robin has yet to learn his name. She just calls him Chicken.
Yeah.
Even, like, in times of crisis. So, Robin also falls, I guess, saving Bartolomeo? Or no. Did she get taken out in the blast? I guess she did. Her dude.
Yeah, she fell because she gave her bug thing.
Oh, she gave him to Bartolomeo. I didn't realize he was still up there.
Yeah, I think that was what happened, yeah.
Yeah, because he's still up there with Rebecca while Robin's falling and fighting Gladius.
Right, Robin's going to fight Gladius, and that should be pretty good.
Robin fights are always really good.
Yeah. She doesn't get enough of them.
So then back at the plateau, Usopp has beaten the crap out of Kinemon and Conjuro.
Yes.
And taken Conjuro's brush away from him.
Yes, so he can't do any more stuff. Draw any more shitty ladders for people.
And then Violet sees that Sugar is awake.
Which is very bad.
Yeah, we kind of guessed that last week because the giant nutcrackers, right?
Oh yeah, that's right.
And so
and she's
then
getting mad at someone coming up to her who has a long nose like Usopp. Because she is traumatized, apparently.
And she turns him into a nutcracker.
Yeah. I also like that on top of him having a long nose, he's bringing her sausages, which he also freaks out about.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
So meanwhile, Cavendish's horse gets, like, horrifically crushed by one of the nutcrackers.
Yes! That was
pretty
that
was brutal.
That's horrible that they're doing that to a horse.
Yeah.
Just, like, munching on his head.
The anime equivalent of Artax.
So, Luffy gets super pissed and jet pistols a hole right through it. And it just stands right back up.
Right, because it's a toy. It doesn't care about having a hole through the middle of it.
And then, like, Cavendish cuts its head off. And it stands right back up.
And puts its head back on.
Because it's a toy. So, the four of them are facing down these toys when Bartolomeo falls on one.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, Robin's there too, so she must have just tied up Gladius and left him behind.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
I totally forgot.
I guess she did.
Okay, so
but yeah, she kind of flew over there. Look, she's doing that wing arm thing there.
Oh,
so yeah, she just got away.
And then Gladius shows up with the Nutcrackers, and they're setting up a fight. Bartolomeo and Robin versus Gladius and the Nutcrackers.
Yeah. Should be pretty good because Bartolomeo can just protect Robin while she makes limbs all over the place and beats him up.
Yeah, we get it's very much a go ahead, we'll take care of these guys scene. And then we cut to Robin, or not Robin, Rebecca making it to the flower fields.
And facing off with, I honestly forget this guy's name.
Diamante.
Huh?
Diamante, Spanish
Diamante.
For diamond.
God, that's right.
It's Treble Diamante and Pika, yeah.
Right.
I'm guessing he's suits. I'm guessing he's based off of David Lee Roth.
I thought it was
Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess with the lips that makes more sense.
Maybe a little bit of both. He definitely looks like that era of rock star.
Yeah. Glam rock kind of guy.
Also the murderer of Rebecca's mother.
Yes.
Also really tall in this shot.
Well, yeah, he's one of those one-piece giants, you know.
Where you're
he's
just
probably like
12
10,
tall
12
for no reason.
Tall. Yeah. Not like the giants, but, you know, just one of those really tall people.
And that's where we end the chapters, with Rebecca facing him down.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that last page, but this chapter still felt kind of unfocused, but it feels like it is kind of
it felt a little bit more, because it basically followed Rebecca's group the whole time.
Yeah, that's true.
Just, like, cutting away to get a little bit of information. It was at least two groups instead of, like, seven groups, which the last couple
of
chapters.
Yeah, it feels like it's kind of starting to focus in on some fights getting set up and stuff. So
hopefully
we'll get
jumpy.
More into that next week. What was that?
Oh, but still kind of jumpy. Sorry.
Yeah. But, so, I'm guessing Luffy and co. are going to reach her before anything too bad happens, and then we'll have Kuros fighting him. Because that's the one person Kiros really wants to kill, right? Is Diamante.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Doflamingo.
Well, everyone wants to kill Doflamingo.
But who gets to? Which one really? Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's great that Sugar's alive. That's terrifying to me. Sugar's power actually freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like the most horrible power we've seen in a while, really.
I think it's the everybody forgets you part that freaks me out. Of just like, as if you never existed.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So I'm guessing she's going to get defeated by Usopp again.
That'd be so great if he just shows up and she just screams and passes out again.
Yeah. No, I think he's gonna snipe something at her, or, you know, something like that.
His image. It's not.
It just projects his image somehow.
I'm just picturing her in like Seastone handcuffs with a picture of him on the wall, and she just keeps waking up and passing out again forever.
That's probably the best way to keep the Nutcracker power from ever getting it activated.
These Nutcrackers are so freaky looking too.
Yeah, they are pretty creepy looking.
Who has toys like this?
Sad kids.
Yeah.
Monsters with like eye patches that are seemingly ageless, horrible little girls.
Apparently.
Oh, I just noticed Gladius actually falls out of the sky too.
Well, how did he fall out of the sky?
I don't know. He also falls on this Nutcracker along with Bartolomeo.
Yeah. Maybe Robin threw him.
Maybe like all the explosion stuff happened above this spot.
Maybe he was like flying up in the air somehow.
Yeah, well, I think he exploded himself up into the air, and then all this explosion shit was probably happening way above the Nutcracker stuff.
Oh, yeah, that could be it.
Maybe. Oh, well. So, we got some good fights for next week. I am excited. Yeah. Wait, I don't think we're having any next week. It was a double.
Next week there's no manga because Jump is off. Well, next week there is a Shonen Jump, but it's the chapters that we had this week.
But sometimes we get the scanlations early, so we'll have an episode next week regardless.
Yeah.
We'll probably talk about Beelzebub finally. We forgot to this week again. Well,
there wasn't another chapter, so.
Well, there's not going to be for like a month, but at least if we wait a couple weeks, it's not so long.
Maybe you'll have Hero Academy to talk about.
I kind of want to read that.
I want to read that too, but nobody's translated it yet. So.
Well, it has been translated into French.
Ooh.
Great.
I do not know French, but I still tried to read it because I really wanted to read it. And it has some really good art, and it looks like the story is going to be cool. I do not know what's going on outside of the basic, you know, premise of the story.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what other manga had good art and a good premise?
Barrage.
Yes.
Barrage. Yes.
Well, the fact that Shonen Jump Alpha hasn't immediately picked it up yet.
That kiss of death.
Maybe we shouldn't cover it either in that case.
Well, I think
we should wait for it to last a whole year and then we can jump on it.
No, I think maybe me bringing it up might have just killed it.
Ah, we've mentioned.
Sorry. Sorry, Barrage guy.
We'll see. Okay. This does look. I found it raw. It looks pretty cool. Maybe someone will translate it. Because up to what, like 3 chapters now?
4.
4? Ugh. Come on, people.
Yeah. I guess, well, I mean, I hope we don't have to wait too long. Because sometimes stuff doesn't really catch on in the translating scene until like it gets an anime or something. But maybe it's people like us who are still bitter over Barrage and Takamagahara getting canceled, and they want
to
wait.
Had to say it. Oh.
Well, I mean, this one basically is like both of those together.
Yeah, it's like a really similar concept. So.
Be still my heart. That sounds great.
We'll see.
Okay, so I guess that's a podcast.
Yep.
Yes.
That's about it.
All right. Well, Robin, thanks for coming. Jack, thanks for coming. Thanks for filling in for on this week.
Thank you.
We'll probably have you on again in the future.
Cool.
I assume.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, that's a podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Okay, I should get to editing this. I still gotta go to the grocery store tonight.
Sorry for taking up all the time.
Oh, no. We usually talk, like, for half an hour afterwards.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll probably just grab... We usually try to get some kind of conversation to just throw at the end, but I'll find something. I can pull something out of somewhere. It'll be fine.
It'll
well,
be
you guys,
fine.
You expected a fresh joke, but it was me, Dio.
Okay, maybe I'll use that.
Yeah.
Should I say it in a funnier voice?
No, we don't.
No, that was perfect.
No, it has to be off the cuff.